1 John 5:11. God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. 1 John 5:11. Ephesians 3:19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:19. Psalm 145:8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Psalm 145:8. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Philippians 2:9. Philippians 2:9. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study, realizing always the importance of being properly related to the Lord as we study His Word. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us the assurance that we can be cleansed of sin, filled with the Holy Spirit. This is proclaimed to us by the Word of God. We are aware of the fact that we cannot properly study God's Word if we're not in proper relationship to our Savior. And for that reason, we spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our scripture reading and our study for today. May we pray together, please. Father, we're here again today as a result of your grace. Saved by grace, kept by grace, blessed by grace, we thank you so much that we are your children, not because we deserve to be, but because of the fact that you've given us that great gift through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we bow to express our thanks today for the opportunity which is ours to focus our attention upon these eternal truths. Bless, we pray, these moments of study in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to turn to the book of Philippians. We're going to begin our reading with verse 3, the second chapter, verse 3. Give you time to find that passage, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. On the screen you see now, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore also God highly exalted him, gave to him the name above every name. Rather than spend a lot of time in the exegetical study, I want you to see that the emphasis of Philippians 2, scriptures which we read, and now in verse 9, presents the fact that Jesus Christ is the supreme individual. So we've chosen to call this message Jesus, Supreme Majesty. I felt like the thing to do today is to remind us of how great our Savior really is. To realize today that we are related to the one who's prepared everything we would ever need in life, to have a life of joy, peace, and contentment. That's our reason for being here today, again, is to turn our attention away from the distractions of the world and focus our minds upon the person of Jesus Christ. And so in these next few moments, I'm going to give you a quick overview of Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the Anointed One. The name Jesus is derived from the Hebrew Aramaic word meaning Yahweh, the Lord is salvation. Christ comes from the Greek word Christos, meaning the Anointed One, the Appointed One, or Messiah in the Hebrew. Let me reiterate, Christ comes from the Greek word Christos, meaning the Anointed One, the Appointed One, or Messiah in the Hebrew. Jesus is the central figure in Christianity. Jesus is the central figure in Christianity. His life, message, and ministry are presented to us in the four Gospels of the New Testament. Jesus was from Galilee, who performed miracles. He called 12 Jewish men to follow him, working closely with them to train and prepare them to carry on the ministry. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, turned water into wine, healed many sick, blind and lame, forgave sins, multiplied fish and loaves of bread to feed thousands on more than one occasion, delivered demon-possessed, walked on water, calmed the stormy sea, raised children and adults from death to life, and most of all, proclaimed good news of salvation. He laid down his life and was crucified, was resurrected from the dead. He paid for the sins of the world and purchased pardon, redemption for all mankind. He restores individuals to fellowship with God. He has opened the way of eternal life by his matchless grace. He was not only fully God, but fully man. He became a human being so that he could identify with our weaknesses and our struggles. But most of all, to reveal that he paid the penalty for the sins of the world. There are various scriptures in the Word of God that presents to us so beautifully how Jesus Christ came for one specific purpose, and that was to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. In the beginning was the Word. When you go to John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. To see Jesus, you see sacrifice. To see Jesus, you see humility. To see Jesus, you see purity, obedience, and devotion. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea and grew up in Nazareth in Galilee. He's mentioned more than 1,200 times in the New Testament. His life, message, and ministry are recorded in the four Gospels. His earthly father was Joseph, a carpenter. He's referred to, of course, as all of us know, as a carpenter, found in Mark chapter 6, verse 3. His heavenly father, God. His earthly father, Joseph. His mother, Mary. He had brothers, James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. These names are all presented to us in Mark chapter 3, 31, Mark chapter 6, verse 3. He had brothers, James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. These names are also presented to us in Matthew chapter 12, verse 46, and 13, 55, and Luke 8, 19. The scripture reveals also that he had sisters, not named, but mentioned in Matthew 13, 55 and 56, and in Mark chapter 6, verse 3. The genealogy of Jesus is found in Matthew 1 and Luke chapter 3. I'm here to remind us today that the greatest name on this earth is the name Jesus. Amen. There have been many names that I've loved to hear, but never has there been a name so dear to this heart of mine as the name divine, the precious, precious name of Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. There is no name in earth or heaven above that we should give honor and such love as the blessed name. Let us all acclaim that wondrous, glorious name of Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And someday I shall see him face to face to thank and praise him for his wondrous grace, which he gave to me when he made me free, the blessed Son of God called Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. When we come to the observance of the Lord's table, we realize the fact that Jesus is the name. So I want to tell you that when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which we will not go to at this moment, but in verses 25 and 26, we find that the focus of the Lord's Supper is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason why we come to have the Lord's Supper, to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, to focus on the fact that he's done so much for all of us. He was willing to leave heaven's glory, come to this earth as the God-man, fully God, fully man. He came for the specific purpose of going to the cross to bear your sins and mine. Let's make this very personal. Jesus Christ came to the earth to go to the cross and die for the sins of each individual in this auditorium today. Each individual on the face of the earth. Jesus Christ, God's Son, loved us so much that he was willing to give everything for you and for me. We must realize that in our emphasis upon Jesus, we do not find him dying and staying on the cross. He came down from the cross. We realize that he was buried. We realize that he came forth out of the grave. He ascended to sit at the Father's right hand. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. The purpose of the Lord's Supper is to express our occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, it's a time for us to express our adoration for our wonderful Heavenly Father and the work of Jesus Christ, his Son. Every believer from 30 AD until now is commanded to observe this ordinance. Every born-again believer is commanded to observe this ordinance. We're going to see in a little while that we're going to be holding in hand the bread and also the cup. The bread is a symbol and represents Jesus Christ as a unique person, qualified, the only one qualified to be the substitute for our sins. The bread is a symbol then that represents our Savior Jesus Christ as a unique person, qualified to be our substitute. In just a few moments, we'll also be holding the cup. The cup represents the total work of Jesus Christ on the cross, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, the session. Jesus is sitting at the Father's right hand right now, and I'm aware of the fact that Jesus Christ is fully aware of your need and mine. I'm glad that he is aware of your need and mine. When we come to the observance of the Lord's table, it's a very serious time. It's a time when we quietly find ourselves in proper relationship to Jesus Christ. We admit our faults, our failures, our sins, and we find ourselves cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. Doesn't make us odd. Doesn't make us unusual. Doesn't make us strange. It makes us normal. And so God designed for us to be able to be in fellowship with him. We're not to partake of these elements out of fellowship. We're to partake of the elements in fellowship. in right relationship with Jesus Christ. And what we're doing, we are remembering everything that we can about what He has done and is doing for us. First of all, it matters not how long you and I have been a believer in Jesus Christ. When we come to these moments of silence, we remember that we are God's children, born again, saved by grace, and we have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home. And if the heart should stop beating before this day is over, we'll be absent from this body and we'll be in the presence of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? I promise you, that's the most wonderful thing that you and I could ever realize in life. When you compare that to all of the other facets of life, all of these other things become very insignificant. I'm trying to tell you today that the most important thing about you and me is our individual personal relationship to Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why we have silence while we are observing the Lord's table. It gives us time to think. It gives us time to meditate. It gives us time to be sure that our hearts are in tune, knowing that God has saved us by His grace. Heaven is our eternal home. We're in fellowship with Him, and we remember what He's done and is doing for us. How fantastic that is. We're going to bow our heads for a moment of prayer, and our men will come. We will spend this time in the most solemn service that we could ever find ourselves in. And that is remembering what our Savior has done for us. He has blessed us all so richly. We're saved by His grace. We're kept by His grace. We have the opportunity now to, in prayer, in silence, just meditate upon what He's done and is doing for us. When we come to the Word of God, we read, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice today in the fact that we are privileged individuals. We have the wonderful opportunity to remind ourselves today of how great Christianity really is and our relationship to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to be aware of the fact that there's not anything more wonderful for us than for us to rejoice in the wonderful grace of God. And that's the reason why we adore and respond to You so beautifully today. And we thank You for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. It is our custom to retain the bread until all have been served. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we healed. The bread represents Christ, whose body was broken for us. Take and eat thereof. Father, again, we are thankful for everything You've done for us. And we are aware of the fact that we are individuals saved by Your matchless grace, not worthy of all these blessings, but expressing our thanks today for the fact that You have blessed us so richly, saved us by Your grace. And You bless us on a day-by-day basis, and we're thankful for it. We ask that these moments will be for all of us very precious moments as we remember what our Savior has done and is doing and will do for all of us. We pray in His name. Amen. It is our custom to retain the cup until all have been served. We have not been redeemed by corruptible things like silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot or blemish. Remember, as we take this cup, we're remembering His willingness to be our substitute. Take and drink thereof. We're now going to sing page 324. If you'll turn in your hymnal. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. It's page 324. May we stand as we sing, please.